Hello, everybody. Welcome. This is Julie Knudsen with the podcast Training the Pointing Labrador, episode number 105. And today's podcast is going to be about running blind retrieves. And I don't tend to get into the technical retriever stuff too much because, you know, people have all kinds of sources and all kinds of ways that they like to do things. And I avoid that just because, and I don't get a lot of questions about that stuff, but I wanted to throw out just some thoughts, like I always do, for people who are maybe new to training dogs how to run blind retrieves, or people that have had, you know, limited success with it and aren't really sure why. And you watch, right, all the YouTube videos, and or you buy a Mike Lardy, you know, the state of the art best trainer of this kind of stuff that's ever been, or one of the best anyway. You buy his stuff and see what he says, and you go through it, and you get good information or you get okay information. And it can be a very confusing thing, because when most of us undertake this, particularly when we're new, we know what we'd like. We've seen, or we should, we need to know what we'd like. We've seen dogs run blinds, you know, just take off running fast, stopping on a dime, taking the cast, you know, and now it just looks so cool. That side of that is what made me decide to go from just regular dog stuff I was doing as a young person into this. I saw that and I went, I have got to know how you get dogs to do that. And so I'm still in the process of figuring that out. This is many years later. But it's a very compelling thing to get to that point. Most of us think, okay, I need to see what the steps are and I need to see what you do. What do you do first? What do you do second? And so when you watch the videos or when you do any of that, you know, you see a dog, somebody doing it with a dog, and you see what they say and what they do and where they're standing and where they put pressure and where they, all the stuff. And then you go out and you try to duplicate that. And, you know, sometimes when I first started this stuff, you know, and I learned what I learned from Danny Farmer. And so then I took my dog and went out, you know, and we hacked through that stuff. And I got a dog that could run blinds. You know, we placed in field trials and stuff like that. You know, I thought it was awesome. Looking back now, I didn't have a clue what I was doing or why. I was just trying to do what he said and what he showed me. But having a dog or two or a few hundred under the belt after that, what's different for me, and I don't set myself up as the standard for any of this. I've just done it a lot and you know, had dogs come out okay and doing things all right. What's changed for me when I approach this isn't that, okay, step one, I get it in my head. What do I have to do? Then what do I do next? You got to have that. You have to have a set of behavioral building blocks on which you take your dog through this learning experience. And so this is a learning thing. It is not a programming of the dog robot to now, when I say back, you go, and when I blow the whistle, you stop, and when I throw up the left hand, you turn to your right, and all this kind of stuff. It's not a reprogramming of the dog robot. It might be in our mind. But what would be really useful to all of us who are training dogs would be to be able to have a little seat inside the mind of the dog that we're training. Just a little seat so we could see what they were seeing. That we could see what they were thinking. So we could see what their interpretation of all of this was. Because if you could see that, that would be what you would use to guide how you would teach this dog. So what I see with folks, what I've done myself many times is, okay, I need to get this dog that when I say back, they have to take off. And, you know, there's a couple different ways that people do it. You know, you start with the force fetches are the basis of that. They have to be able to fetch something when you tell them right 6 inches from their face before they'll fetch something 250 yards out their way. So you have to have a good force fetch, and then you do pile work, and then you do multiple pile work, and then you start backing away from piles. So there's that whole process you go through. It's real important that when you do that process, whichever way you do it, there's a lot of different ways, whichever way you do it, I would suggest Mike Lardy's of all that I know of that are out there, because he actually does take into account the natural response of the dog, not a dog robot programming thing. But anyway, this isn't an endorsement of that. That's just the one that I've seen that seemed it did no harm, and it actually, he understands the dogs, and that's what he's trying to get across. He just doesn't show you any dogs that aren't responding the way they're supposed to. So that's it. That requires a lot more from you as the trainer. But when you go through the T process, the multiple piles and the back pile and the forcing, and then once you get them forced, then you stop them. You are conditioning, you aren't teaching them to run a blind at all. You are conditioning them to go when you say back, whether it is from your side or whether they are 50 feet in front of you and you put up a hand and say back, that when you say that word, they are to go the opposite direction of you. You are conditioning them to that. You aren't teaching them to run a blind. So when you say back and they're at your side, they know they take off. Because they started with a force fetch, then they started with a pile, then they started with piles that get further away, then there's some pressure to condition them that the word back is not an option, that they must go. So on the double T, that's what you're doing. You are conditioning them to respond to the word back. It doesn't mean they're always going to do it, but it does mean if you do it correctly, that you are conditioning them to that. Once you have the go, once they understand they have to go, then you introduce the, hey, sometimes you got to stop after you've gone. And again, I caution everybody, if you get the remote sit before you get the go, that can make things very, very difficult for the dog, because that is a hard way to grasp mounting concepts. So the dog, if you do the stop before the go, then you put pressure on them to stop out there further away from you. Okay, and that's generally we're talking collar pressure. You put pressure on them to stop. Now we're going to have pressure out there, but it doesn't mean stop. It means to go. And so, you know, we expect the dog to be able to intellectually grasp that. And there are some out there, I know, someone's listening to me and said, I did that, worked perfect. But for every one of those, there's going to be 50 or 100 that the dog is just like, I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to either go somewhere or sit down. I don't know. Just very confused. So if you put they relieve pressure by stopping, and then we try to teach them to go, and when you put pressure on them to go, they want to stop. And so we want to put pressure on them to go, but that means stop, but it means go. And so it can be extraordinarily confusing for the dog and for the handler, trainer. Versus if you teach them to go, and when you put pressure on them, they go. All right, so they know, boy, the way you deal with pressure, fair, understood conditioning pressure is to go. Now, when you put the stop on, and you stop them with a rope first. So now, even though you're not stopping them with the same pressure that you taught them to go with. So electric collar pressure starts often with stick pressure, then you go to collar pressure. That gets them to go. Now we can't use collar pressure right off the bat, in my opinion and experience, to stop. So I use the rope. So now when I blow that whistle and they hit the end of the rope, I mechanically force them to stop. I'm not using electricity. And so once they understand that, it's very hard on the upper shoulders, let me tell you. Especially if you've done a good job forcing. But you teach them that that means stop. And then when they understand that, you can put the collar pressure in there, mix it up with the rope, and then finally you don't need the rope anymore. And now the dog understands pressure to go, and they also understand pressure to stop. So that's one of the reasons I emphasize that very strongly. So in the T, you have conditioned them that back means you've got to go. And you've also conditioned them to that when you blow the whistle, they need to stop. That is a sit right there. So that is what the purpose of the T is. It is to condition them to go on back, whether they're at your side or facing you out front somewhere. It is to condition them to stop no matter what. Stop if they're running hard in a direction or whatever. When you blow that sit whistle, you stop no matter what. You also condition them to change directions when asked. So it's not just running in a big old straight line all the time, but sometimes I'll stop you and I'm going to ask you to get over there and pick that up. This, you don't, in good blind running, you don't use overs hardly ever. All right. I mean, obviously there's always going to be someplace, but this is an etch-a-sketch. You know, they should be making progress toward the blind, and overs don't fit into that very much. But you use overs in the double T to make a clear change of direction, and they know where they're going and they see it. So it isn't that we're teaching overs that we can use later on blinds. We're teaching them to change direction so that they don't have some automatic response. I just go one direction, that's all I do. I just go like heck unless I hear that sit whistle. Sometimes I go like heck, I hear the sit whistle, and then I have to change my direction. So that's what you're doing in the double T work. That's what you're doing. You're getting those tools. This has nothing to do with blind retrieves in the head of the dog, because the double T is one place, it should be, one place, so they know where stuff is. So when you're telling them to go somewhere, you know they know where it is. There's no confusion. So when you say back, they know where that back pile is, and they know how to prevent any training pressure. They know how to control it. They know how to respond to it. So the double T is in one place. Okay, this has, in the vast majority of dogs' heads, no relation to running blinds. So if you have a dog, or you see a dog that's running the T and they just book out of there at Mach 2 when you say back, and they stop on a whistle and the dust flies up and they'll change directions for you or turn either way and go back. Okay, you have a dog that has the tools in place that now you can go begin doing the difficult thing of teaching dogs to run blinds. because they can do that. What I see a lot is when your dog will go on back, so then you think, okay, they'll run a blind. And so I've seen people go out where they have blinds next to marks. That's like jumping, oh my goodness, from preschool right into high school. You missed a whole lot of real key stuff in the middle of that. You can't do that because you're going, hey, just go and stop like I told you to do. So you should be able to go and stop out here. But for the dog, and this is the whole point of this podcast, for the dog, it is not that way. Human brains think that way. You can generalize and go, ah, then this is this way over here, therefore this must be this way over there. Humans can generalize very well. A dog generally does not. So when you've had them on the double T, they know that place. They know the back pile. They know the over piles. They know the pressure. They know all of it. And so they know that. Now, when you remove them from that place, they no longer know that stuff because it is location dependent at this point. Now, there's going to be dogs that are exceptions to that. There's exceptions to everything all the time, but not a lot. So it is a location dependent thing that you taught. So now you have to leave that location and begin to take the tools that you developed in that location and go to, and what I like to do are the pattern blinds. I have pattern blinds because, one, this is where I get off the tee and begin to teach something in a different location. It's also a great place to problem solve and troubleshoot for stuff down the road and teach it all kinds of stuff. Pattern blinds are great. You don't have to do them, but I find them invaluable. So now you go to a different place where you're going to have things that look like blind retrieves. I mean, they're not perfectly straight like a T is, right? The line is a perfectly straight thing, but it might angle the terrain funny. It might go through a little piece of cover. It might cross a road. It's contrary to the natural movement of a dog. And you don't want to have one pattern blind. You want to have a series, three or four, or more if you have the room even, of places that are going to be, they're like blinds. They're different lengths. They have stuff. I have obstacles in the way. They have to jump over logs, and they have to toenail down hills and not get on a road and all kinds of stuff. But now we're going to introduce some back piles in new places. And so now you teach them these things. This isn't a double T anymore. This is real terrain and real stuff that you can always use. It's, again, we're going to make this location dependent. But we've got blind type things. And so we teach these dogs, okay, here you go. And once you've taught them, and there's a whole way to do that, you start with a handful of bumpers and you back away until they learn the end of those blinds. And I have some, the first one's probably about 50 yards and the last one's 320 yards. So varying distances, varying stuff. And now I'm going to teach the dog to go out there, and I might handle them. You know, if they got a little too much momentum, if they don't have enough momentum, I'm not going to handle very much. I'm going to find out if I have any troubles with left or right backs. I'm not going to send them on one blind and then cast them to another, because that meant I lied to them when I sent them. So for me, when I send a dog, when I point them somewhere and I line them up and I put my hand down, I mean that. And I want them to always trust me. So I never get them out partway and go, hey, no, go to this other one. Because now I'm playing etch-a-sketch with a dog. And it kills momentum. And it kills confidence. And it kills their real connection with you, that they can always take your word for everything that you say. So anyway, you teach pattern blinds. And so if your dog has, momentum problems, they're kind of worried, or, you know, run them enough so they develop, they get to really liking this. Man, they like to just tear out there. You know, if you have a little bit of a problem with them, you know, they start to show you they got a slow sit, you can start enforcing sit pretty strong here, because they do know where they're going. So this is a good place to practice off the tee, where it's like a real blind. It's like what blinds really would be like in real terrain. And you get them where now they can run pattern blinds. And they walk up there when you say whatever you say, cue them dead, and then say back, whatever you do. Man, they rock it out of there. And if you handle them 8 times on the way to the blind, or you don't handle them at all, they are good at it. They are good with momentum, and they are good at handling frequently or not. So here's where now you begin to get them used to the tools that you have in a location that is very much like cold blinds will be. Now, a cold blind is a blind that they don't know anything about. They don't know where it is. They don't know anything about it. So once you've gotten off the tee, where you built your tools, you established your tools, now we're going to take our tools. We go over to the pattern blinds. And now we use the tools. And different dogs need different things. So at first, they don't know what the heck's going on. But if you did a good job on the tee, it doesn't take very long for them to know, I know where that bunch is. I know where they are back there. And at first you let them know where they are. And pretty soon you have them out there and then just bring them up and start running without any kind of visual whatsoever. And now they're doing this. If they have a stopping problem, work on the stopping stuff. Handle them a lot. Don't be afraid to handle them a lot. If you're handling them too much and you're losing their momentum, then kick back and get them running all the way through. Build their momentum up. So this is a real good place to get the dog strong in the responses that you have created over on the tee, and get them to have some confidence in doing this, right? And it's not on the tee. Now we have some confidence out here in these things that look like real blinds. So now when you move over to running cold blinds, that is, now we're going to go someplace that they haven't been, that they've never run a blind, and they don't know where it is. Depending on your dog, a lot of times you want to break into this, because even though for you this is exciting, oh, they're really good on the pattern blinds, I'm going to come over and start running cold blinds. Here's where you need to not think people. You really need to understand what this is for your dog. And it is different for different dogs. So they have always, you have been working now for months on getting them to have confidence and trust in you, and they always know where they're going. Okay. They always, in the beginning on the pattern blinds, you had to teach them, but you did, just like on the double T. So you taught them, and then they've always known where they were going. Now we're going to come over and start introducing the concept of, you don't know where you're going, and I still want you to do all this stuff. For some animals, that is not a big step. It just isn't. And I can't tell you why. They have a certain boldness. They have a certain love of just doing this stuff. And so it's not very hard. And for other dogs, it's like you changed everything. And all the training and the work you did now does not apply, because they don't know what's happening. They've never done this before. It's not a location that they know. They don't know. They've never been sent for something that they weren't shown already. And so this is a real big deal. So you kind of have to find out what dog you have. So I'll just say what I do. There's a lot of good ideas out there, but what I'm not doing what I'm told when I do this. Always do this. But when I see that my dog, I come out there and they're showing, you know, that they just, I know this is going to be a big step for them. So I'm going to help them out a little bit. So I'm going to run 3 cold blinds. And I'll just say this for my experience. I never do one. I never do one because if you do one, then one is what they do. So you want to do cold blinds like you do marks, not just one, but I do 3 of them separate, plenty space apart, different lengths, not exactly the same. Downwind is the easiest. So I start with as least crosswind as possible. The last one is always the most crosswind if we have wind. But I have multiple ones because I want these dogs just to go, oh, a blind, instead of, well, I'm done. We did one. That's it. So you always want to do multiple ones. So running blinds becomes something that is kind of a rhythm that they get and they understand it. And you can walk out there. You have a big field where you're going to do it. Let's don't put hard stuff, pieces of water and heavy hard stuff. You know what I'll do? I'll take a dog and I'm going to do 3 cold blinds. I'm going to walk out with my 3 bumpers and he's going to be with me. And I'm going to throw one to this location. I may have it marked with a little orange ribbon or it's by the big tree or whatever. So that it's, you know, and some dogs, I might put up some flags, just a little flag. So they have something that, you know, they're going, oh, there's a flag. I think that might be it in the very beginning. Some dogs could use a little bit of visual assistance, but I'll go out, throw the bumper right out there, right where it is, have them pick it up, take it from them, throw it back, and then walk, you know, 70, 80 yards over to the next one, and then throw it. And so they know there's bumpers out there. They know they're out there because they went with me and they retrieved one in each spot. And now we're going to come back to the line. So even though they're not sure exactly where they are and they can't, you know, there's not a path to them that we've worn, but they know something's out there. So I have helped them a little bit with that. And so now I'm going to take the tools that I built and I am going to go run 3 cold blinds. The easiest first, then they become more difficult, whether it's by wind or terrain or distance as we go. And sometimes it goes just like super great. And you're going, this is amazing. I did such a great job with this dog. Or this dog is so smart. And sometimes the first one's great. And the second one, they're like, what? Oh, I'll go back where I've already been. Because that's what you've taught them on the T. And that's what you've taught them on pattern blinds. That you go back where you've been. Well, now we're changing another rule. So now you don't know exactly where you're going. And once you've gone there one time, you don't go back. Okay, those are 2 huge things. And so you need to understand that the dog doesn't know this because you've taught them exactly the opposite. And that now we're going to have to teach them. You know, you don't know where you're going, so you got to trust me and you got to at least give me some effort. And then don't go back where you already were. So those people who would like to repeat cold blinds, I would say, I'll just say I never do. In terms of 100.00% never, probably not, but just about. Because I'm never going to teach a dog that they get to go back where they've been. You can't go back where you've been on a mark, and you can't go back where you've been on a blind. You have to go where I ask you to go. So when you start your first cold blinds, we help them a little bit by saying, there's stuff out there, you saw it. You were with me. You know it's out there, right somewhere out there. And then, okay, after you get the first one, now you have to get a different one in a different place. And you don't know this place either. And so it could be, and this is where you really understand how your dog thinks and what it is you need to work on. There is not a human in the world that can tell you, always do this many of them, do it. You have to have your dog tell you what stuff they understand and what stuff they don't. And whatever it is they don't understand, that's what you have to work on. So problems develop while you're starting cold blinds. And again, I'm going to say over and over, don't use the same blinds. That's called pattern blinds. You have got, and don't just use the same field and rotate 90 degrees. You can do a little bit about with that. Or, you know, you can come back next week and rotate a little. But you can't just learn cold blinds in one field. You cannot do that. You have to be in new places. Once they get to know a field, they're going to go, do I go to this one or that one? I know where you got these things. You've got to go to new places if you want to have a really good blind running dog. Because blinds mean you don't know where you're going. And if you compete, they're going to be somewhere the dog hasn't been before, and say you still have to have them with confidence in responding to you in unknown places. You ultimately need to make blind running be non-location specific. It's just them understanding what you're asking and doing it wherever they are. So you start your cold blinds first by letting them know there's stuff out there. After you've done that, depending on the individual dog, a couple times, maybe even 5 or 6 times, then don't take them out there with you anymore. You can use a little flag. That's kind of what I do. I put little flags up, and I have some dogs that I've trained that are so smart that if there's a flag on a blind, I don't care if it's 180 yards out there and they see it, we're lining all the way there. So if anybody had a flag 50 yards over, I could get them off of that. But so I use a little bit in the beginning once I don't take them with me to put the bumpers out. I'll mark it a little bit sometimes, and sometimes they never ever can see those little orange flags, and sometimes they can. But I certainly have to mark it so I know where it is. There's nothing worse than handing your dog to someplace and it's the wrong place. Because then they're going, dogs get really upset and you're mad at them because they're missing it. And actually you have them, 20 yards in the wrong spot. Once you can get where they don't know where those are, then just put them out there yourself, mark them, and begin to run multiple cold blinds. And if you can do that for a month or two and take what you get every day, your dog will start becoming a very, very good blind running dog because of you making this make sense to the dog. When you're running blinds with dogs, whether it's pattern blinds or cold blinds at any stage through this, there are a couple of absolute rules, absolute things on which you cannot bend. One, when you tell the dog back, they have to go. It can't be, you have to have the right tone of voice, has to be really loud, you have to say it twice, you have to get them all geared up. You need to be able to say back and they take off. You started that at the double T and you carry that standard all the way through. There's ways, for no-goes. If you have a no-go, you have to address it immediately and I'm not going to tell people into that. It depends on how they do stuff. But you can't, a no-go is, it's a fail in competition. Plus, they can't not go. You've spent all this time teaching them, when I say back, you go. So always, whether it's pattern blind, cold blind, anything, you have to do a good job of conditioning so that they know to go. And every dog at some point will do a no-go for some reason, and you must be immediately prepared to address the no-go and get them going again. And you don't do it by burning them on back. It has to do with heel and movement. You have to force movement by moving and then get them to go. So one of the rules is when you say back, they have to go. The other rule is when you blow the sit whistle, they have to stop. You can never drop your standards on those things. You must be consistent. That's the only fair thing to the dog, so that they know, boy, when he or she says, back I go, and when I hear that tweet, I stop. Because you need that response when you're in competition or you're hunting or whatever, and you need them to stop right now. Never drop that standard, because as soon as you let them have a little bit of a slow stop, then you're going to always have a little bit of a slow stop. So keep it good and concise 100% of the time. And it's much easier that way. Never let it change. Now, in terms of taking the wrong cast, the only place you use electric collar pressure, and I'm going to act like I know everything on this, but the only place you use electric collar pressure doing this is if you have a no-go, you'd use collar pressure on heel. and to make the dog stop, to enforce a sit. Nowhere else. Nowhere else. You cannot burn a dog on a cast. You should not, if a dog just sitting there and they don't go on back, go back and fix that someplace else where the problem got started. Don't start burning them out in the field on back. I told you, never burn on back at all anywhere here on this stuff. You should have done your upfront work well. If you haven't, go back and do that. So the collar, if you're giving a cast and the dog doesn't take it, then you have to, you should probably already know why. And when you first start running cold blinds, folks, and you know, you get them out there. Now, they don't know cold blinds. Remember, they are nothing but location-based in their responses. Now they're somewhere they never, you know, doing stuff they've never done, and they're out there about 80 yards, and you blew the sit whistle, and now you're giving them an angle back, and they're just sitting there. they're just going, I don't know what I'm doing. What's happening here? I don't know where I'm going. I haven't found anything. I don't know what's happening. And then people get mad, and there goes the electric collar and the screaming and yelling. It would be good if you understood, particularly in the beginning when they do this, that they're just kind of going, I don't know what I'm doing. So depending on your dog, you don't start using pressure, which is what people just want to go to. You can use pressure on the tee. You can use pressure on sit or going, that's all, on the pattern blinds. Because they always know what's happening. But out here now, they don't know what's happening. And you put pressure when they're confused and don't know what to do, that only goes bad for you. They don't suddenly become intelligent and figure out exactly what you wanted. They are out of context. They're sitting out there at 80 yards going, I don't know. So now, if you have a dog that's just going, I don't want to go anywhere and I'm going to sit here, you probably already know you have a dog like that, and you address that stuff early on. If they're doing it out here on their beginning cold blinds, then they're confused. So you have a variety of things to do. One, generally get closer. You don't want to do this much, but in the beginning, when they kind of get a little rocked and they're not sure, get up closer. The proximity to you makes things a little better. It's back like all the other stuff you've done. See if you can give the cast. Do not keep yelling and yelling and giving the same cast. When something's not working, don't keep doing it. So if they're just sitting there and you move closer, you get up, I don't care, 20 yards, 15 yards from them. And you get up close and they still sit there. So I said in the book when I wrote all this stuff, have some rocks or dirt clods in your pocket. Take out a rock or a dirt clod, toss it exactly the direction you need the dog to take the cast. Give the cast, they're going to take it. They can't really go pick it up. I don't mean a big old rock. Don't throw a stick. Just a dirt clod is really good. And then you've got them moving again without pressure. So you're going to at least kind of, they're just stuck with confusion. You kind of just oiled them up a little bit and got them moving again. So that's all, that can be very helpful. Sometimes if they're really stuck, then to have a bumper in your pocket. Throw the bumper in the direction you need them to go on the cast, and then go out there, meet them when they pick it up, put it in your pocket, cast again, and they're probably going to go. In other words, help them out of their confusion. Don't use pressure, because there's nothing they can do when they don't understand, and then you start pounding on them. There's nothing they can do, and that's going to make them, the next time you want to go run blinds with these dogs, you think they want to go out there and do it, because it becomes a really ugly place when they don't understand. So I want to just review what I just said right there. They always have to go, and they always have to stop, and they need to try and take your cast. If they're just refusing, I mean, if they're just going out there and going, I don't know, help them out in the beginning. If they just continue to use that now as a way of avoiding even trying. All right, so then there's other things you can do. Call them in 6 feet with the whistle. Enforce that if you have to. You can use pressure on here. You've done that before. Then sit them down. In other words, you forced a little bit of movement. You can't force it backwards, but you can force here because you started that when you first taught obedience. So bring them in a little bit, then cast them. Just try to break their thinking and let them know they can't. They've got to at least give you some effort. Now, in terms of casts, when you're, I'm talking about beginning coal blinds and stuff, you should be doing casting drills so that it becomes a little bit of a habit of just a kind of conditioned response that when your right hand comes up, they tend to turn to the left. Or when your left hand comes up, they tend to turn to the right. You need to work on that all the time. But sometimes when you're running these coal blinds, right, and the dog has gone, I know where it is, and they're thinking it's over to their left, which would be your right, right? They think it's over there. I know it's over there. And they get a bee in their bonnet about that. I don't know why, but that's what happens. But you need them going the other direction. They want to go hard right, and you want them to go hard left, or at least left. And they're just going to go right. Okay, same thing again. Sometimes you can use a little indirect pressure on sit. Don't burn them on casts. Don't use electricity on casts. So if they are just bent like all get out to go one direction, then, and you can't, you move close and you're giving a kind of an exaggerated cast the other direction and they don't take it, you might be able to use a little indirect pressure on sit when they take the wrong cast. Sit, Nick, right? Wait, move, use your body language, get them to move. If nothing else, get the dirt clod out. Teach them, you know, no matter how emphatic you are about believing you know where you're going, I want you to go this direction. This is one of the most important things that you are also teaching in beginning the cold blind work. Remember, we have to teach them, you're going to have to go when you have no idea where you're going. And we teach them, once you've been someplace, you don't go back there again. And now we're going to teach them, when you really think you know where you're going, and I want you to go somewhere else, you need to do it my way. That's another thing that we're teaching right here. This is a lot of stuff. So when you're doing this with your dogs, you want to be aware that you're asking a whole bunch of different, fairly sophisticated concepts in this dog's head, and to be patient about it, and to, for a while, give them the benefit of the doubt and help them out a little bit. That if you're overdoing helping them, that's better than overdoing punishing them all the time. Because punishing is not teaching. If you're getting mad and you're getting frustrated, it's an absolute guarantee your dog is also very frustrated, very confused, and maybe starting to get a little afraid. And when they're like that, they're not going to learn. So this takes patience, and you aren't going to get it in a couple weeks. And if you got a test 3 weeks from now and you just started doing this, you're not ready. Because, and we're getting down to too much talking here, but so we're just talking about introducing cold blinds. And you have to do that until you can have 3 or 4 cold blinds put out. And that dog goes, all right, face this direction and go, you bet. Stop. All right, I'll try and take your cast. Okay, when you can go do that on cold blinds, now we're going to start connecting them with marks. You can't just start running the cold blinds right by marks. Most dogs don't have a clue. They're like, no, a bird got thrown over there. That's where I go. And then they get in all kind of trouble for it, and they don't understand because there's no context for them. Blinds have always been location specific, and then you've always done marks. And now all of a sudden you've got this combined. They don't just automatically combine it. So get your cold blinds real good. Wait, I'll tell you what I do. Then I go back to my pattern blinds and I throw marks. Every kind of mark, close, far, downwind, upwind, under the arc, throw a mark and run those blinds they know. That way I can make them run the blind correctly because they know where it is. And that's where I first teach them. Okay, now we're going to do marks and blinds. And once I can kind of do that, now we can go back out in the field with some marks and a blind that is not too complicated and run the blind off the side. And the dog is familiar with this request. So that's a lot of stuff. So I've been talking for 39 minutes on something that takes months. And it really takes building the tools every step of the way. And it takes you understanding what tools you're building and then how you're supposed to use them. And that's where I see people get themselves in a lot of hot water. You know, hey, he goes and he stops. Let's go run some blinds now. Because you can do a double T. and that is not enough for a dog to have a clue what they're doing on a cold blind. So be considerate of your dog's level of understanding. This is huge stuff for them, and sometimes it's overwhelming or confusing, and you do not want to set up an adversarial relationship with your dog through this, because then you're going to get, if you're a competitor, you're going to get to an event, and every time you're by the water or you've done something, you know, man, that dog always gets in trouble because he really didn't know what he was doing. They're going to come out there and go, you know, you can't make me do this stuff now. And then they kind of do all kinds of crazy stuff, or, you know, just quit stopping on a whistle or quit listening or just run back over to the mark. And then everybody wonders what happened to that stupid dog. And it's because they weren't taught how to be cooperative and exactly to understand what they're doing. So I offer that right now. It's the weather's getting where we can start working on this a whole lot. And I just hope people that are in this position, or if your dog's, you know, blind work isn't exactly what you want, take a few steps back and kind of rebuild this and make sure that all the tools are in place. And then make sure that your dog has been taught behaviors with these tools in a way that really makes sense to him. Makes it a whole lot easier, I guarantee you. So everybody enjoy their training, and I will be back soon.